Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. And today we have Joel Freeman, and we want this to be his best year ever. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and family worldwide, and that means you. Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever. Folks, today we talk about Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Joel Freeman is here to talk about its historical significance. We invited Joel to talk about Israel and the USA recognizing Jerusalem as its capital. Joel takes a group of people to Israel every year and acts as their tour guide. Interestingly, Joel is not Jewish. Of note also is that Joel Freeman has one of the largest collections of Black history memorabilia and is a leading authority on Black history. By the way, Joel is not black. One can learn a lot from Joel, a highly accomplished author and international speaker. Regardless of your beliefs, you only need an open mind to appreciate what Joel has to say based on facts, not opinions. Welcome to the show. I am humbled to have you here, Joel Freeman.
Hi, Joyce. It's always good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's always great to have you here. I said my only complaint is I don't have you often enough, given you're a sought-after conference speaker, workshop facilitator, serial entrepreneur, professional counselor, behavioral analyst, organizational culture change specialist, consultant and mentor to pro athletes, multiculturally astute with travels to 50 plus countries. So today you've traveled to our show to make a difference for our listeners who happen to be a worldwide audience. Once again, we welcome you, we love you, we appreciate you.
Thank you, Joyce. It's I call that resume obituary type stuff, and let's move along.
I never thought of it quite that way, because you have a long, long way to go, given the incredible importance you are to the difference you make to people worldwide. Over to you, Joe. Let's talk about Jerusalem.
Well, when I think of the land of that was promised to Israel, the question could be, what is the land that God promised to Israel? And we can go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. God says to Abraham, "To your descendants I give this land." And then he defines the borders. He says, "From the rivers of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates," and then God later confirms this promise to Abraham's son, Isaac, and then to Jacob, who's Isaac's son. So now we get three generations of this promise continuing. And by the way, Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. And then when the Israelites are just about to invade the promised land across the Jordan River, God reiterated the promise as recorded in Joshua chapter 1. And he said, "Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west." So when we put together Genesis 15 and Joshua chapter 1, the land that God gave to Israel included everything from the Nile River in Egypt to Lebanon. That's north to south to north, then everything from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, that's west to east. And so, when we ask the question again, what land has God stated belongs to Israel? Well, it's all of the land modern Israel currently possesses, plus all the land Indians in the West Bank and Gaza, plus some of Egypt and Syria, all of Jordan, plus some of Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And now, of course, we see today that Israel currently possesses only a fraction of that land that was promised. But I just wanted to kind of start off the show giving a larger picture of the land promised and to see where we are today. Probably at about Israel occupies less than one-tenth of that entire promised land from Genesis 15 and in Joshua chapter 1.
That's pretty amazing. For people who believe in the Bible, they of all people should recognize what you're saying and appreciate the historical significance. There's so many naysayers out there, which is why this show is so important today.
Very true. I think that it's just amazing to me how many people have ideas about Israel that they don't even think about with other sovereign nations. And, in Zechariah chapter 8, it says that, "Thus saith the Lord, I have returned to Zion. I have made my dwelling in the midst of Jerusalem. So here we have, you know, no one argues that, for instance, Ottawa is the capital of Canada. The whole world agrees that America's capital is Washington, D.C. And you could go around the world, you know, looking at different countries, and there's no big deal about the capitals. But when it comes to the capital city of the Jewish state, you know, for some reason, everybody has an opinion. And even its best friends have kind of created a bizarre double standard. And you hear the Israeli government decided, you know, that the shekel is the national currency. There's a national anthem. And then, you know, the capital city is Jerusalem. So placing an embassy in any other Israeli city, it literally denies Israel her sovereignty. And it is unheard of in world politics. Can you imagine someone in France or Belgium or, you know, wherever, Australia, railing against the United States and saying, you can't have the capital in Washington, D.C.? I mean, it's ridiculous at its face value. And so, you know, in Israel, Israel is the only country in the world where America's embassy is not in its functioning capital. So if America claims to be Israel's best friend, then it should treat the Jewish state, you know, with the respect that is deserved, and let her make her own decision about it. And I'm so glad that you know, whether a person loves President Trump or hates him, the reality is that you know, a number of presidents prior have promised in their campaigns that they would move the embassy to Jerusalem. And he is the only one who's actually acting on the promise, campaign promise. So one could say, you know, that's pretty incredible at face value, just that one piece of that one move of President Trump.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned the President Trump, and I'm someone that has a problem with only two things about him, everything he says and everything he does. However, I really, really appreciated that he had the courage to have this happen, that he acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital, is the one thing I am so happy about, I'm so pleased about. So everything else I have problems with, that's not the basis of the show today, but I do have to give the devil its due.
I hear you loud and clear, and there's a lot of ambivalence around the country and around the world about him as a person and his style and everything else. But I agree with you. This is one thing that I think many people can agree upon.
And it really took courage, like you said. Every other administration's referenced it in one way or another, but nothing ever happened. So if anything where I can generate good feelings about tweet a Trump, this would be it.
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so you referenced the Bible. That was, you know, that's where it all started. And again, those that believe so much in the Bible, I don't hear people standing up for Israel. And what's even so scary now, presently, anti-Semitism is on the rise again, all over the world again. I don't know why people have it into Israel, given their innovations, their strides in medicine and every single thing, what comes out of Israel that people use and it saves lives. But somehow fingers are always pointed on negativity and making up things about Israel. So this show is really important today.
You know, it is curious to me. I've talked with people who are pro BDS, you know, boycott, divest, and sanction, that whole movement. It really has hit college campuses very hard. There's a lot of people who believe that. And then what I tell them is, well, you better get rid of your cell phone if you really mean what you mean, because the cell phone is full of all kinds of Israeli technology and ingenuity. And then you can point to other things that Israelis have created And it's you know, it's, there's such hypocrisy in my mind when someone goes in this direction, because then you can point to other regimes that are anti-women, that are that have the just the I don't know, just the things that they do in governments, and yet people fawn all over them and hate Israel. It is just patently it's transparent to me. It just seems to be so one way and so hypocritical. But you know, that it just is what it is. I don't quite understand it.
And I don't know what we as a country, as a people, can do to have things be different. But kudos to those students who are marching and making a difference in the area of gun control, where our government did nothing and our people did nothing. Adults have done nothing all this time, despite incident after incident of mass murders. It took the kids to come out, the students, and by George, I'm willing to bet they will make the difference that didn't take place before. I am so looking forward to their march.
There are many layers to that. To the whole gun control issue, and we could get into a whole discussion on that sometime. But going back to Israel, I just think that you have, for instance, Jerusalem is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. It's referred to by name 662 times, and as Zion, it's mentioned over 150 times. Now, when I visit Israel, we go to the place called the City of David. In the Bible, it calls it Mount Zion. And it is just incredible. Elisha Kron is a dear friend. He was the head archaeologist of the City of David, and he has found some incredible finds in the City of David. One that has yet to be open to the general public, that he takes us to every single time we go. He pulls his keys out and opens up this door for us. He is a site down deep in the City of David that hardly anyone knows about. And it is, he believes it's the place where Melchizedek had his temple. And it's just astonishing. So you look at the Quran. You might ask, is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran? And it's there's not a single mention of Jerusalem in Islam's holy text. And Muhammad never once visited Jerusalem. And so, for centuries, it was the Jews who taught the world. The land of Israel is the center of the world. Jerusalem is the center of the land of Israel. That's what has been trumpeted around for centuries. So, Tel Aviv is a fantastic city, but the Bible could not be any more clear as to which city should be the capital, Jerusalem.
And I know in the text of the Palestinians, they don't even recognize Israel. It's not even on the maps there as well.
No, it isn't.
In their textbooks, there's no mention, like it doesn't exist. That's why, folks, I really want to stress to you today, this show is based on facts, not opinions, and not on prejudices.
That's true. And I think also another thing is that the Jews have never forgotten Jerusalem. there's a famous medieval Jewish poet, Judah Halevi, and he said in one of his writings, he says, "I am in the West, but my heart is in the East." Even on the happiest days, Jews pause to reflect upon the destruction of the ancient temple of Jerusalem. At all Jewish weddings, the groom declares that from under the bridal canopy, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither." And then breaks a glass to serve as a sad reminder that no occasion is completely joyous in the absence of the Holy Temple and Jerusalem being recognized. And once a year, the sadness becomes overwhelming, and Jews observe a national day of mourning to remember the ancient destruction of Jerusalem and to pray for its ultimate renewal and final restoration. You know, that all of that is bound up. King David said in Psalm 137, he says, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither." That's the exact quote that is spoken, declared from under the bridal canopy by the groom. So it's a pretty fascinating. It's like a tapestry woven into the culture and the hearts of every Jew throughout the world.
Fascinating. It's funny, I never really thought about the total significance of the breaking of the glass. I've certainly been to countless weddings. I just, took it to the part about it being, you know, that the bitterness and, you know, not to forget that, and that's what it symbolizes. But you expanded on that a bit, so I learned so much more from you, my non-Jewish friend.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying getting back to Jerusalem, how do we drive the point home? Is there something, you mentioned the Bible, and then there are those, well, I never read the Bible, I'm not a religious person. How can you drive that point home? It was a great thing that you said, because it's so true. Every other place can choose their capital. Not a word is said anywhere. Israel does it, and the world is up in arms. So what can you tell people? I really want people to get it.
Well, I think here in America, we have forgotten some things. It's probably one of the most frustrating, yet optimistic reasons for the movement of the embassy is that in 1995, the Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act was passed by the 104th Congress. It was a sweeping vote, 93-5, and in the Senate, it was 374-37. In the House, that was in the Senate, and in the House of Representatives, 374-37. So 18, 19, whatever, how many years ago? I guess it was more like 23 years ago now, Congress passed a law initiating and funding the relocation of the Embassy of the United States in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and here's the exact words, no later than May 31st, 1999. That was back in 95.
Wow.
So expressing the will of the American people, the act also called for Jerusalem to remain an undivided city, for it to be recognized as the capital of the State of Israel. Now, here's where it gets frustrating. Since the passage of that particular Jerusalem Embassy Relocation Act in 1995, the law has never been implemented by a president. And so it serves as a willful abuse of executive power. And yet, as I mentioned before, the president since then have used it as a campaign promise and then have not acted upon it for one reason or another. You know, they've withered under the pressure of alternative forces saying, you know, basically, oh, if we do this now, it'll harm our peace process. And, you know, it's just, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so, and then you have, you know, that there's always a reason to be hopeful, you know, and there's different members of Congress that, I know one Congressman, Doug Lamburn in Colorado, he co-sponsored a bill, the Recognition of Jerusalem as the Capital of the State of Israel Act, you know, so that to kind of bring in the biblical, historical, legal, political injustice that was happening. And then in that, the text of that particular bill that was brought up about 20 years ago, I don't know how many years ago, but I guess about 18 to 20 years ago, he said the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel is important, you know, and then to add the signature to the petition, to present to Congress, you know, all of the rest of it, to try to remind Congress and the presidents of the past, hey, this is what our law has stated, and you know, why aren't we doing this? Let's move.
I am stunned. I never heard of that. That's the best kept secret. As much as I follow Israel, as much as I advocate for Israel, I never heard of the Jerusalem Relocation Act. And what year was that, Joel?
That was 1995.
And they said it should be relocated no later than?
May 31st, 1999.
May 31, 99. Wow, that is the best kept secret I ever heard. I am stunned that there was actually an act in 95 and nothing ever happened. Wow, wow, wow. Folks, if you find this show interesting, if it's making a difference to you, share it with people. It'll always be in our archives. And you should also listen every day to our other shows with incredible guests, amazing topics from which you will learn so much. Here in the very wise words of Beverly Nadler is why you should be listening.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask you to partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And right under my picture on the upper left, it says follow. And simply by clicking on follow, you will be apprised of our shows, our guests. And some of them are quite extraordinary, really difficult to get, and you don't want to miss their shows, including world-renowned psychic Peter Marks, who is on our show every month, offering free on-air mini-readings, answering your questions and concerns. So do become a follower, Joyce Barry and friends.com. It is just a click away. Back to you, Joel. What made you develop this interest in Israel? Where did that stem from?
Well, Joyce, I have always had a love for Israel, you know, since I was a young child. And a lot of it was because of my studies, you know, just reading Bible stories, David and Goliath and different things like that. And I always had a desire to go visit Israel, purely from an archaeological and also just got to get a sense of the topography, the geography, what things look like. And that actually was even what sponsored my interest in ancient Egyptian history, because especially through the 18th to the 20th dynasties, there's a lot of mention of the exodus of the nation of Israel. And so I kind of wanted to know, you know, what did the Pharaoh look like? And so that made me want to go to Egypt to visit. And I've traveled all over Egypt as a result. And my interest in the Rosetta Stone and all the rest of it emerged because of its impact on biblical and regular archaeology. So A lot of it is just surrounding. I've always been someone that if someone says something, I want to go to where it happened, or have an original book about it or something. That's always been part of my DNA.
To put it another way, you want to be where the action is.
That's right. So the first time I went, I told my kids, my four children, I said, when you turn 15, you can go anywhere in the world with Dad. And I have a whole website called tripswithdad.com that people can go to figure out how I did it and how perhaps they can do it with their children or grandchildren or nieces, nephews, or whatever. And so my oldest son, he's now 39, he chose Israel. I had no, I exerted no influence over any one of the children's desire where they wanted to go. That was totally on him. We went to each child. We went to the library and got out videos back then. It was before digital technology. You know, video VHSs, and we'd watch. We'd get books, and we'd read about different places in the world. And he chose Israel, so we ended up renting a car. And for about 20 days, just drove all around the West Bank, up north, down south. I had no guide. I just had a lot of books about the history. And, you know, back then, before digital technology, I had to actually print them out, if certain pages. I knew we were going certain places, so I'd print them out. And so, for instance, when we went to Banyas, Caesarea Philippi, we jumped over the fence and climbed up to the top, looked over the Transjordan Valley. It's one of the three spots where the Jordan River starts in the north at the base of Mount Hermon. And then I just started reading to my son, you know, this is what happened here. And that was basically the way we did it. And then my love for the land of Israel and the people of Israel was really launched at that time. On that trip, and I've been back a number of times since, and of course lead tours twice a year now, and I just, in fact, I'm going in about 5 days on the next tour. My wife and I are taking a group of people, and we're very excited about it. I learn new things every single time.
How many people are going?
We have the last trip we had 44. I never take more than one busload because I see all the people who, you know, the tours that have 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 busloads, and they all wearing headsets. No one seems to be smiling. They all seem to be like herding cats. No one's having fun, from what I can see. And so and maybe they are when they take their headsets off, but I refuse to take more than one busload because part of it, the reason for going to Israel is about building camaraderie. And when you travel together, you get to know each other at a different level. And doing this in Israel together is just very meaningful. On this trip, when we were building this trip, the whole embassy move was announced. And I had a whole page full of people wanting to go, and then one by one I get these calls saying, I've been watching CNN and Fox and, you know, MSNBC, and I've seen all these kids throwing stones, and I think I'm not going to go to Israel at this time, which I don't blame them, you know, but I told them, I said, so we have 10 people going, but I said the irony will be that when it comes to go at this time, you know, you might be kicking yourself in the rear end because Israel will be peaceful and we'll have a good trip and, you know, it'll be a great time and you'll be missing it. But there's always another time, so no worries. I'll keep you in touch with you.
And you still have your busload, which is the amount you wanted to bring. Is that correct?
Well, we have a small van, you know, on this one, and we're taking we're what I find with small groups, because I've done small groups before and I've done larger groups before, you know, 40, 50 people, but with smaller groups you can be more nimble. There's a different, it's a different experience, you know. Larger groups, it's fantastic, it's wonderful, it's you know, there's just a whole bunch of personalities, and there's always someone in the group that is just as funny as can be all the time, and a practical jokester and everything else. Smaller groups, there's just a different vibe, and we can, you know, when you make a stop and you got 50 people, you know, it takes that much longer to get going again because everyone has to go to the bathroom, buy an ice cream cone or whatever. But when you have 10 people, then you can, you're in and out, you're gone. You know, let's move on, and you can see much more.
There really were that many people that canceled, because I'm glued to the set with the news, especially, well, I have to hear it's Israel, and I don't move. And it's very quiet there now, very, very quiet.
It is. I've been to Israel when one time Hamas shot 140 rockets. I was in Jerusalem. My wife and I were there. Next morning we woke up, and we were told, you know, did you know that Hamas shot 140 rockets? And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And that's the land of contrast. You can be on the beach in Tel Aviv. You could be in the Dead Sea and not even realize that there's others that are dealing with issues up close and personal. It's just the life in Israel. People in Israel, I find, are more afraid to visit D.C. and Baltimore than they are to live in Israel. It's just a matter of perspective.
I believe it.
Because they see the images from here, we see the images from there, and everyone is afraid. And I think the media plays as, you know, the media has, what is being covered is newsworthy, but I think that many times it kind of hypes it. If it bleeds, it leads, you know?
When you go to Israel, do you always generate a new group to take, or do some of them come back and go with you and make the trip again?
I've had some people have gone as many as 4 or 5 times with me. And I always try to add new things to each trip to make it interesting for no one else but myself and my wife. But it's but I try to make it interesting for everybody so that there's always something new to experience. And even when you go to the same place, there's new things, new aspects, new things. I'm learning new things every single time I go. In fact, it took me about 5 trips to really understand the Temple Mount. You know, and what happened, the progression from Mount Moriah,
mm-hmm.
you know, to Herod's temple to, you know, it really took me about 5 trips to figure it out. And so I tell people, when the first time you go to Israel, you'll never have a second chance to have the first experience. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Your head's going to be like on a swivel. You're going to not want to miss anything. And then the second trip, things tend to slow down. So the metaphor for that is one of my friends, first time he came to Israel with us, he took over 4,000 pictures. The second time he came, he took only 120 pictures. So that gives
mm-hmm.
you an idea of what happens. You say, I've been to Capernaum before. Now I'm only going to focus on 2 things here. And I'm not going to try to take it all in. I'm going to go deeper, not wider. So it's an incredible experience. The 3rd, 4th, 5th, you know, 10th, 20th time, it just gets deeper and more wonderful every time.
Joel, when those people were calling to cancel, there was nothing you could say to have them change their mind. It's such a shame because of what they missed out on.
Well, I figure everyone who says they're going to go to Israel, they have a friend, a relative, a sibling, a child who maybe when they sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, they say, you know, it's announced, hey, we're going to Israel in March or something like that. Then they say, what? You are not going to Israel. That's ridiculous. You're a nut job to think of going to Israel. I've had very dear
right.
friends tell me that. And so I try to prepare people in advance that when you commit to go to Israel, you know, there are going to be other voices that are going to come at you, and that's okay. And if you succumb and say, no, I don't think I'm going to go, you know, it's that's okay too, because there's another time we're going to go, but it's always going to be this way. You know, every single time you want to go, fall, summer, doesn't matter when, there's always going to be some issues. And the reason I go in spring and fall is because, number one, the weather is fantastic. You dress in layers, little chilly in the morning, maybe in the evening, but during the day you almost want to wear short pants. It's a pretty and it's a land of contrast in terms of weather. I've had a snowball fight up in the Syrian border in the morning and swimming in the Dead Sea later at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And so it's such a land of contrast. Secondly, is that there are no Jewish holidays during that time. The reason I go during that time also because of that, because it's easier to get hotel rooms in advance, and then plus all the parks and museums are open, not closed, because many Jewish holidays, the parks and museums are closed. The third reason I go on those two times is that is because I've been studying Hamas and Hezbollah, and it seems as though that they ramp up around late May, early June, all the way to late August, early September, and then after that, between let's say mid-September all the way around to mid-May, it's a relative calm. So if you're rolling the dice and you're looking for a much safer time to go to Israel, you know, that's the time to go, spring and fall.
Let me
just
say, for people who may not know, Hamas, Hezbollah are terrorist organizations bent on the destruction of Israel. Not at all interested in peace, bent on the destruction of Israel. So it's another point I'd like to make here, how Israel really does want peace. And the Palestinians are not looking for peace. They had their opportunity when Clinton was president. They were so close to a deal. Arafat said no, and they gave so much, and Arafat at that time said no. So that is also a major distinction that people don't pick up on, that Israel is a peace, a loving country, and they just want the right to defend themselves.
Can you imagine? I mean, let me hitchhike off that, if I may. You know, even at the peak of ancient Jewish nationalism, you know, during the times of the temple, the priests and the Levites serving in Jerusalem, they warmly embraced the worship and sacrificial offerings of both Jews and Gentiles. In fact, in the ancient temple, Solomon's temple, there is a Gentile court, if you can imagine that. So, you know, Judaism has a deep respect for all monotheistic faiths and welcomes the prayers of all those who call out in the name of the one God. Unfortunately, not everyone in this region has such an open-door policy, because when Muslims controlled Jerusalem up until 1967, the ancient Jewish and Christian holy sites, they were ransacked and disgraced. But today, under Jewish control, under Israeli control, the holy city flourishes once again. It's open to all religions, welcomes millions of pilgrims each year from around the world. And so I think that's in the ancient DNA of Judaism, is to be open and not to desecrate other holy sites of other faiths.
Another point I want to make is how the Jewish people protect themselves, any, you know, the way they have to with their weapons, but the other side protects themselves by putting their missiles, their weapons, in schools and in hospitals, and then when it's tracked down with a drone and they go after those targets, then the propaganda is Israel is shooting at hospitals and at children's schools. But they're leaving out the part that's where they hide their weapons, using their children as a shield. They leave that part out.
Well, I've seen videos of Palestinians actually staging something, you know, where people pretend to be dead, and they take a picture or video of it, and then when it's all stages over, they get up and run back, run back. I've seen videos like that, and it just is. Once again, we get back to hypocrisy. Now, I know there's trouble on both sides. I know the Israelis have overreacted in some cases. But I want to look at it this way. I mean, when you're surrounded by millions, tens of millions of Arabs who have stated that their whole passion and purpose is to destroy Israel. You could kind of look up the word paranoia in the dictionary, and that would be pretty close to what could be experienced. And yet, even in spite of that, in Israel, people live their lives. Children go to school, they go to the bakery shop, they go shopping, they travel around. Even though there could be paranoia, and there probably is paranoia in some cases, especially in the military, you know, making sure that there is protection. At the same time, people live their lives. There's marriages, there's funerals, there's, you know, life goes on.
There is a quote, I don't know quite the exact wording of it, but something like, if the Palestinians laid down their weapons, there would be peace in Israel. If Israel laid down their weapons, there would be no Israel. And
yes.
That is a popular saying. I forgot.
That was a tribute to Golda Meir.
Oh, yeah, that was extraordinary, and it's also true. Yet so much propaganda, the Palestinians have mastered the art of propaganda. Once there was a visual you talk about, they staged that, of it looked like Israelis shooting at children. And in fact, what it was Palestinians, believe it or not, shooting at their own kids so they could ascribe it to Israel. They sacrificed their kids. They take their terrorists and declare them as heroes with their pictures everywhere, and rewards are given to families who kill Israelis, and they're acclaimed as national heroes. So that's what we're up against, yet people don't get it, and that's what really frustrates me.
You know, it's it really is sad, you know, and when you stop and think about it, and of course this goes back to Jacob and Esau, and also Ishmael, and Isaac, and there's Ishmael and Isaac. You know, you have the whole even it was prophesied there would be enmity between Ishmael and Isaac. You know, they both came from the same father, Abraham, and I think it was Bruce Feiler who wrote a book about Abraham that really has done a great job of detailing how the enmity has occurred between Ishmael and Isaac in future generations. And so it's really sad, and that's why King David said in the Book of Psalms to pray for the peace of Israel, because I think that there's no better way to understand what a person loves than to know what they pray for. You know, a person's deepest values and ultimate priorities emerge from a prayerful heart. And it's not just a trivial detail. You know, it's the direction in which a person prays. It speaks volumes. And, you know, for Muslims, for instance, even while they're praying on the Temple Mount, turn their prayer rugs in the direction of Mecca, Saudi Arabia. While Palestinians living in other parts of Israel turn their backs to Jerusalem altogether while praying. And on the other hand, in every synagogue in the world, it's built facing Jerusalem. You know, synagogues in North America are built facing the east, while synagogues in Asia face the west, so that whenever a Jew prays, he or she faces Jerusalem.
Wow, Joe, what an extraordinary show. As I said, I want you so much more often, minimally once a month, and I only invited a couple of people for a once a month show. You're on that list. So I just love having you here. Talk a little bit about the website IsraelCrazy.com. Maybe people hearing this show will want to join you on your next trip. When did you start doing those trips as a guide to Israel?
Well, it was about 25 years ago. It was the first time I ever went to Israel. And then I've done, I don't know how many trips since. I probably should sit down, you know, maybe 15, 20 trips in all. And each trip, IsraelCrazy.com, is filled with videos, itinerary, cost, reviews, five-star rated reviews, all-inclusive. And I promise people in that website that the three E's, you will be educated, you will be exhilarated, and you will be exhausted when you're done, and you'll have to come home for a vacation. And I promise leaders who bring a group, you know, that I can give a discount for every person they bring, a $250 discount, and bring 16 people, you go for free. And I try to make it so that, you know, like the last trip, we had one gentleman brought 10 people. He experienced Israel for 10 days, all-inclusive, for $1,485, and because he brought 10 people. And that's the way I like to do it, to help people experience Israel, because I know it makes the Bible come alive for them personally on many levels. And so IsraelCrazy.com is a website that people can go to learn more about the trip, and all the contact information is there. And then plus I have a rather comprehensive document that explains everything, and I ask everyone to sign a statement that is 4 pages of information I understand and accept, and they have to sign that. And because on many trips, you know, when I first started this, people would say, "Well, you never told me this, you know, that we were going to have to tip the guide or whatever, you know, whatever the situation might be." And I'd say, "Well, yes, I did. Now I have people read it and then sign it that they read it and they understand what they read, and we get along famously." But it is
that makes sense.
But there
IsraelCrazy.com. Israel Crazy. You want to check that out. You want the opportunity to go with someone like Joel Freeman to Israel. What better way to experience the Holy Land?
Yeah, I really when people call me and contact me. What I tell them is just ask me the 3 reasons why our trips are different from all the rest. And so I'll just put that out there. I'm not going to give the 3 reasons right now. I'll have them call me and find out the 3 reasons why we're different.
You sure you don't want to share it? Take this moment
No.
with our listeners.
They got to call me and then I'll tell them.
If you want them to call you, Joe, what number would you like to put on the air?
Well, probably my office line is 410-29-4011. That's 410-729-4011, and I will call back within sometimes I'm out and about, but I will get back to them. But all that information is on the website Israel Crazy. All the contact information.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say you might want to give your email address.
Yeah, probably best to email me, greatworkshops@gmail.com. It's greatworkshops is plural @gmail.com.
Gotcha. I just want to just one verse from the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr that he lived from 1892 to 1971. You might recognize it as that which is read at all the AA meetings. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And why I chose to share that with you at this time is I cite those students that are activists to do something about guns after witnessing 17 of their fellow students and friends being gunned down, and they're working to do something, and I will bet money I really believe that these kids will make the difference. I'm also looking forward to having some of them on our show as well. And there is always something you can do, one step, one action. Something, it starts with one person. I think of Rosa Parks, this frail woman on the bus, setting off that whole civil rights movement. So, quoting Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men, and I say and women, to do nothing. And nobody made a greater mistake than he, and I, or she, who did nothing because he could do only a little. So I want to use this show as a launch pad to you to look into Israel, to understand it and see what difference you can make. Folks, you don't have to be Jewish. You just have to be human. Okay, Joel, as we're wrapping up here, what message would you like to leave our audience?
Well, because of the topic here, I think it's important to realize that throughout history, there has been an uninterrupted Jewish presence in Jerusalem. In fact, in the book of Joel, not named after me, but I was named after it, it says, chapter 4, it says, Judah will exist forever and Jerusalem from generation to generation. So we have, you know, the first epic tale of biblical heroism takes place when Abraham brings his son, Isaac, and demonstrates his unyielding faith in God, Jehovah, on Mount Moriah, which is the center of Jerusalem. That's the Temple Mount. The same site that's where David established the seat of his kingdom and where Solomon built the first temple. And after his destruction, the second temple was also erected there. And despite numerous attempts to exile the Jewish community from the land of Israel, and in the face of that constant oppression by foreign occupiers, the Jews have remained faithful and ever present in Judaism's holy city. And there have always been Jews living in Israel, even under the reign of Israel's most brutal enemies. So historians have demonstrated that Jews have long made up the majority of Israel's population, not only since 1967 or even 1948, but since 1830s, we know that there's been a huge population there. So it's just I just wanted to mention that in closing, and I think it's important to recognize, you know, that I'm thankful that that U.S. is finally moving their U.S. embassy, our U.S. embassy, to Jerusalem. I think it's fitting. Thank you so much.
And I'm so excited about that happening. Folks, I want to refer you to our show on February 9. That was live with Joel Freeman, called A Tribute to Black History. So that was only a month or so ago. In our archives, A Tribute to Black History. And if you go to our homepage, JoyceBarryandFriends.com, and on the upper right in the search bar, you type in Joel Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N, all of Joel's shows will come up. 8 years of our shows, folks, we have never taken anything out of our archives. So you need only type in his name and you'll see his extraordinary shows. But this one a month ago, A Tribute to Black History, as I mentioned at the beginning, Joel is one of the leading experts on black history. He's not black. One of my favorite speakers on Israel and Jewish people. He's not Jewish. I am still really amazed at all of that, because I advocate for a world where we learn to respect and acknowledge and appreciate each other's differences rather than judge them for it. So I am very, very grateful to Joel Freeman and all that he brings forth. He is a living example, a living role model of the appreciation of others and really making a difference. So I wish you a very safe, extraordinary trip to Israel that you're leaving in, within a week or so, and can't wait to hear all about it when you get back. And folks, I want to leave you with my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. Folks, God bless you all. Go out and do a random act of kindness. Make someone happy today. And folks, we want to make you happy today and every day. And we'd like to do that starting right here, right now. So please sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us to the Joyce Barry Mash.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.